Alan Burt Show on WCAU News Talk Radio. In Philadelphia, you can call 839-1210, in South Jersey, 541-1210. And I want you to know that this morning, I am so pleased to have these two gentlemen in here as my guests, because they are probably going to consider themselves experts in the very same field. However, their perspectives may be a bit different. Bob Fade wrote a book, and the name of the book is Gorbachev, As the Real Antichrist Come. And you, Bob, are a nuclear engineer.
I'm retired, Alan.
A retired nuclear engineer. As a nuclear engineer, do you take a theological approach?
Alan, after I retired, I also acquired a master's degree in theology. I wanted to...
From where?
From the Full Gospel Bible Institute.
Would you turn your microphone up? That's it. So everybody can hear you. Lift it up. That's the way to go. I knew you could handle it. And he's not even a member of the union either. All right. So you received a
master's degree in
from where again?
Theology from the Full Gospel Bible Institute in Cooksville, Pennsylvania.
I see. All right. My other guest is Vernon Poitras, who is professor of New Testament interpretation at Westminster Seminary. And in our little discussion just moments ago before we went on the air, I said to Vern, I said, is there anything else I should know about you? And he very modestly said, well, I have two doctorates, and I know very few people who own one, and he's got two. It must have been a special sale that week or something. How did you get these, and what are they in?
I have a doctorate in mathematics from Harvard University.
I see.
That was earlier when I was specializing in mathematics.
Does this mean you can do your own income tax?
I hope so.
Okay. What else?
And the other doctorate is in New Testament. It's from the University of Stellenbosch in South Africa.
Well, I have a lot of brain power seated here with me today, and I'm sure you'd like to question all of this brain power. If you can't get any answers about the Bible or God or the Book of Revelations, maybe you can get some answers about how to add, subtract, and do all of those things, and perhaps maybe learn how to build an atom bomb, too, because we have all of the brain power to dispense that kind of information. Now, the book I'm looking at has a picture of Mikhail Gorbachev on the cover. It is published by Victory House. Is that a legitimate publishing company, or is that a, what is known as a vanity publishing company?
Absolutely. I paid nothing to have this book published. In fact, Alan, this is my third published book.
Really?
Yes.
What were the other two?
My first was called A Scientific Approach to Christianity, and you know, I believe that perhaps Vern and I come from the same background, from the secular world and in science and mathematics. And I was an agnostic until 1975.
And then God found you.
Well, he got my attention. Nothing gets your attention like terminal cancer.
You know, I got to tell you something before we get to your cancer. I remember a few years ago, you remember this was a bumper sticker campaign across the country that says, I found it. And then you were supposed to ask these people, what is it you found? And they say, I found God. Well, I never fell into the trap because, you see, I never assumed God was lost. You see,
it's people who are lost. God is still where he's always been.
You got it. Now tell me, you had terminal cancer?
I had terminal cancer, and I was an agnostic. I really didn't need God. Everything I touched worked out fine.
Right.
I was at the top of my profession. I needed nothing. And I was supposed to leave shortly on a six-week trip, which would take me to China and all around the world. And I began to hemorrhage, and nothing gets your attention like your own blood. I went into the hospital. I was diagnosed as having cancer of the colon. It was extensive. When the doctor operated on me, he came back and told my wife that he couldn't get it all out. And a bunch of Christians, people that I didn't think much of, began to pray for me. And 5 days later...
Who are these people?
These were from an Episcopal church in Catonsville, Maryland, St. Timothy's Episcopal Church.
I see.
And 5 days later, much to the doctor's astonishment, he couldn't find any sign of cancer in me. So, needless to say, I had to evaluate my former position, and about a month later, I met the Lord Jesus Christ in a very special way.
What does it mean to now understand that nothing that I am going to say during these next 2 hours is intended. This is a kind of a disclaimer for my future statements. Nothing that I will say is in any way intended to either denigrate or make fun of anyone's religious points of view, philosophies, doctrines, perspectives, etc., etc., etc. But if I do get a bit facetious, you'll understand, and don't assume that I'm attacking. I'm simply responding in that facetious manner. You met Jesus Christ in a very special way.
I had a very personal relationship.
Where did this occur? I mean, you didn't do this Oral Roberts thing of a 900-foot-tall Jesus by any chance, did you?
Not at all. I'm only 5'7", and I wasn't even tall enough to play basketball.
How tall was Jesus when you met him?
I did not see him. I had a personal inner experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I met him in a very personal way.
Okay.
And from that time on, I was convinced that he was actually the Son of God. And of course,
aren't we all?
I hope so. I'm quite sure that all of your listeners don't feel that way.
You can join us anytime, Vern. You can just jump in. Have you ever met Jesus, Vern?
Yes, I trusted in him from an early age, and I heard that he had died for my sins.
You believe that?
Yes, I do.
He died for your sin?
Yes.
Did he die for my sin?
Well, if you trust in him.
But suppose I tell you that I am not a sinner, that I don't believe one's sins, that you have these choices of right and wrong, and you can make these erroneous decisions, which makes you a horrible person. But, quote, I really don't understand the meaning of sin, and it would seem to me that if I do something to harm someone, that I am a rotten person and I need forgiveness from the person that I harmed. I don't need to go to God and say, hey, God, I hurt that man. Forgive me for hurting him. I need the guy that I hurt to say, hey, Burke, I may or may not forgive you. No one, from my point of view, died for my sins. If I'm evil, I'm evil. I must assume my own responsibility.
Yeah.
That's the first statement, and before this gets carried away into a theological discussion on various differences, let's talk about this book, Gorbachev as the Real Antichrist Come. Now, why are you picking on this friendly Russian with the birthmark on his head, Bob?
Alan, I don't think he's quite that friendly. We're told a lot about the Antichrist in both the Old and the New Testament.
Where in the Old Testament?
Well, Daniel talks about him, Isaiah talks about him, Zechariah talks about him, in many places.
Can I assume that this is the Bob Fay interpretation of what is written, as opposed to Daniel saying, now let me tell you, as I sit here in the lion's den, that there's an Antichrist coming, because Christ wasn't around during that time.
Daniel lived during the Babylonian captivity.
But Christ didn't.
No, he didn't. But Daniel was given a sense of the future, and he forecast the kingdoms which would come in the future.
In other words, Bob Fade's interpretation of the book of Daniel.
Well, most of my book is taken from John's Revelation, and this is rather explicit. It's symbolic, but once you have a clue as to the identity of the Antichrist, these clues fall in line. And of the 16 clues which John gives us in Revelation, Mikhail Sergeyevich Gorbachev fits perfectly at this time, 14 of these clues.
How about it, Vern? You're a professor. You are a theologian.
I think many people find that it's difficult for them to understand the book of Revelation. And what I always advise is, start with the handle of the knife and not with the blade. Start with what Revelation has to say about God, and then you will understand better what it has to say about evil.
Well, now that's a little esoteric. I mean, can you bring this down to some one-syllable words that I can and the rest of us can understand what you're talking about? Let me rephrase this. This man seated across from you, this nuclear engineer, this theologian, this former cancer patient, says that Mikhail Gorbachev of the Soviet Union is the Antichrist that is written about in the Bible.
Let me correct you just one point, Alan.
Sure.
This book projects Mikhail Sergeyevich Gorbachev as the best candidate ever to come forth in history to be the Antichrist.
Then you're not sure that
he has two more identity clues yet to meet. But he has come at exactly the right point of time in history.
This sounds like, what do they call those hunts that kids used to go on?
Scavenger hunt?
Scavenger hunt. We've only two more clues to go, and we've got him nailed. This really is the guy. Well, I mean, is that anything like being a little bit pregnant?
When he fulfills these next two clues, we won't have him nailed.
Well,
I'm afraid he's going to have us nailed.
Suppose he doesn't fulfill these next two clues.
Well, if he doesn't,
then you'll have to find a new Antichrist.
Suppose Mikhail Gorbachev is assassinated tomorrow.
Right.
Then Bob Fade is entirely wrong, and I'll be the first one to admit it. But right now, this man is the best candidate.
Who are you going to replace him with?
I have no idea.
But you've got somebody in mind.
No, I don't.
You don't have a runner-up, a vice Antichrist, so to speak?
No one in history has met these prophetic clues in the manner
according
that Gorbachev
to Bob
has made. No, not
according to Bob.
According to John, who was the revelator who received this vision of Christ, and let me talk about these clues.
But before you do, because I know your type, and you're going to run off into a sermon here. I can feel it coming up.
I'm not a preacher.
Oh, yes, you are.
I'm a teacher, not a preacher.
Well, there's very little difference in the minds of those who practice theology, which is one of the great professions of all times. As a matter of fact, I should have been a theologian myself. I really should have, because I could do exactly what I'm doing now. People would call me preacher instead of, hey, you, Burke, and they would pay me, and I'd get tax breaks. I'd do that whole number.
Alan, sometimes preachers and teachers are called other things.
And deservedly so. Look at Jim Baker. Look at Swagger. I don't want to get into that. It's not fair, and I'm certainly not making any comparison. But now you're sitting over there, and you're not saying anything.
Alan, I think it may help if I say my own view is that the Book of Revelation sets forth a pattern of the conflict between God and Satan. And it's repeated in history, so that there are many figures that approximate the character of the Antichrist.
So you're not saying that Gorbachev is the real Antichrist?
No, I'm not.
Who do you have on your vote list?
Well, the first of them was Nero,
okay,
the Roman Emperor.
And he fiddled around a lot, didn't he?
He persecuted the Christians.
Yeah.
And after him, Domitian, a later emperor. And the Book of Revelation may have been written in the time when Domitian was beginning persecution of Christians. So he was functioning, he used state power in a perverse way to try to destroy Christianity. He was functioning like an Antichrist. Well, later on, people have said that the Protestants said that the Pope was the Antichrist, because at that time he was having persecution of the Protestants. That was in the Reformation period. They said Napoleon was the Antichrist. They said Mussolini was the Antichrist. And I'm willing to say there's a sense in which all those people, to the degree that they used state power to persecute people who believed in God and in Christ, they were all manifestations of a principle. Now, I also think there's going to be a final manifestation.
Okay.
But I won't identify it.
All right. Now, let me do this, if I may, gentlemen. And I'm pleased to say that I can use the word gentleman totally without qualification that this is true. I really have two gentlemen as guests at the same time. As you say, the symbolism of the Antichrist and those that you have mentioned, Nero and the rest, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Can we not turn this whole thing about and say that, and I'm not talking about the man Jesus, but let's say the Christ, appear in the philosophy, spirit, and work of Moses, of Buddha, of all of the people that, and I'm not talking about Jesus. Now, you're having a tough time understanding what I'm saying, Bob, because you're hung up on Jesus Christ the person.
He's talking about Jesus.
Well, I'm not, and the point I'm trying to make, and I think you understand what I'm saying, Bert, there is a spirit. I talked to a guy by the name of Ben Krenn, who he's a Christian. Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. No, are you talking about Benjamin Krim, like Lucius Press?
I am talking about Ben Krim from London, who is a Christian because he says that Christ is now in the form of a Pakistani, who is now the Maitreya. Yeah.
Benjamin Krim is a phony from the word go.
He would be kinder about you.
I have to say the truth.
That's the truth according to you, and I consider you a non-Christian for calling Ben Krim a phony. How do you like that?
Well, fine, if that's your opinion.
It's my opinion. But I know Ben Krim. I've talked to him at length. Have you talked to him at length?
How do you explain Ben?
Have you talked to him at length?
No, I have not.
Would you grant that I'm a reasonably astute individual?
I think perhaps
you
are.
Bet you.
However, how would you reconcile Benjamin Krim, the name of his publishing company from Lucifer Press to Lucis Press so as not to attract that much attention to
I don't know, one, that it happened, but then how do I, for any moment, justify the fact that you have written a book in which you do nothing apparently but quote the Bible and the New Testament particularly and relate that to events in the world when you're a nuclear engineer and you go to a school I've never heard of? Well, at least I've heard of Harvard.
Peter was a fisherman.
Let me tell you something, Bob. You are not toying around with some talk show host in some little place who is now climbing up a ladder of success who's in his early 20s. I've been down the road and started the whole thing. You, this morning, are going to understand what talk show hosts really do. They dissect, they probe, and they don't let their guests get away with a bunch of baloney. And I'm going to make you either put up or shut up. How's that?
I think that's great.
I think so, too. We got to take time out for a commercial. We'll be back.
The following is a message for Rex Communications. Guess who's one of the largest used car dealers in the world? It's the United States government, and they often sell cars for less than you'll ever pay at a used car lot. The U.S. government auctions cars, houses, and office equipment, and they're doing it right here in the Philadelphia area. The police and several government agencies are seizing criminals' cars, homes, and much more. And the government is selling this merchandise at bargain prices. Trucks, TVs, computers, and VCRs at incredible prices. Now, you have to get on the government mailing list to find out about these bargains. Do you want the bargain of a lifetime? Then you have to order the Action Guide to Government Auctions. You'll find out what the government is selling, where the bargains are in your area, and how to get there fast. Call and order the Action Guide now for only $79.95. That's 1-800-225-2122. Please have your MasterCard or Visa ready when you call. 1-800-225-2122.
Daddy, are you all right?
Not really. I fell flat on my back. I was climbing the ladder and it broke.
Why did the ladder break?
Sweetheart, that's a good question.
Why did the ladder break? This is a question of product liability law. A product could be anything made by man. A pen, cigarette lighter, a window, a swimming pool. If you have been seriously injured by any product, you may have a claim for damages. The law firm of Martin J. Heiligman makes these suggestions. First, keep and preserve the product. If that is impossible, identify it by model and serial number. Second, record the names and addresses of witnesses to the accident. Third, as soon as possible, consult an attorney whose practice emphasizes the law of products liability. If you feel you have a claim for damages, please call the law firm of Martin J. Heiligman at 561-0111 and let us send you free and useful information about products liability. The law firm of Martin J. Heiligman, because what you don't know may hurt you. 561-0111.
Steve Kaye, chef owner of the Ritz of Philadelphia, is here with some more to tell us about the Ritz.
How about we talk about that we're a quality 24-hour restaurant, never close, always there.
Steve, wait a minute, whoa. Everybody knows that already. Tell us something different.
On Tuesday, they come to the Ritz and watch the clothes on the racks walk around the restaurant because we have a fashion show.
Whoa, every Tuesday you have a fashion show. You've never mentioned that before. Talk about it.
We just did. How about this? You give me $10 and I give you 10% off for a whole year. We have 800 members. It's called the Ritz Discount Club.
You get 10% off. Is that on every check every time you go?
As many checks as you bridge, as many times as you come in. We have people that eat 5-6 times a week and get 10% off. Any check, as long as a Ritz Club cardholder presents it at the register, boom, 10% off.
The Ritz of Philadelphia. It's a lot more than just a great place to eat. They're on the Roosevelt Boulevard right next to Nabisco. Look for their coupon in the Yellow Pages.
No! Okay, here we go. We're having more fun this morning. I don't want anybody to think we're angry just because we are getting a little bit testy with each other. You can call 8-1210. Or 541-1210, the Alan Burke Show on WCAU News Talk Radio, and participate in this conversation. Where did I put my glasses? I've hidden my glasses. Oh, here they are. Can't see without my glasses. I got to look at this book that Bob Fade has written called Gorbachev, The Real Antichrist. Now, I can turn to this book anywhere and find you quoting here. Revelations 13 tells us more about the beast, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And then you go further, you say, the bear
is readily recognized as the symbol of Russia. Let me just finish this paragraph. Gorbachev's feet, his roots are in peasant Russia, from which he rose so suddenly to power. The bear is known for its strength, its carnivorous animal, killing and eating the flesh of its prey. Gorbachev's feet are indeed the feet of a bear, a strong Russian bear. So because in Revelations it says something about a bear, you're saying Gorbachev is a bear. Oh. All right.
Well, the Western world had even heard about Mikhail Gorbachev. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had a sense that something very important was about to happen. When I can't sleep at night, I go into the Bible. In fact, I read it through four times a year. In Revelation prophecy, I saw some clues which indicated that the Soviet Union would be the most likely country for which the Antichrist would arise when he came. Now, Alan, just 3 days later, on March the 11th, 1985, Konstantin Chernenko suddenly died, and this man was vaulted into a position of leadership.
Bob, I have no doubt, let me just make this statement, I have no doubt that everything you have said is truth to you. I have no doubt that if there is indeed an Antichrist, that it could very well be Gorbachev. I am not arguing that. I am saying that your authority to present this as the ultimate conclusive proof leaves me wanting.
But
because I don't think that you have that much evidence, that you have any more insight than anyone else, and you remind me in a way of Ollie North, who says, you know, I did this because it's the right thing to do.
Ellen, have you read the book?
Your book?
Yes.
Oh, I have gone through your book. How do you think I come across these passages that I've got highlighted?
You've opened it up to it. But there was one clue which, knowing nothing about Gorbachev, I could apply immediately on March the 11th, 1985, because John states specifically that when the Antichrist comes, he will be the eighth leader or king of a nation. The Soviet Union did not exist before 1917 and the Bolshevik Revolution. There was no Soviet Union. And we all know that Lenin was the first leader.
Stalin, Malenkov,
Khrushchev, Brezhnev, Andropov. That the seventh also was discussed in biblical prophecy.
Are you buying this,
Vern? He said that the seventh king, the immediate predecessor, would be in power but a short space of time, and Chernenko lived only 13 months.
Are you buying this, Vern?
Alan, I tend to think that the language of seventh and eighth is derived from the symbolism of seven being complete, and the eighth just means the climactic one. I think we have to be on the watch.
Of course, we have to be on the watch whether atheists have to be on the watch in doing business with the Soviet Union. That's my point. It has really nothing to do with religion. I would not trust the Soviet Union.
Okay, now Vern is a mathematician. Let's talk about some mathematical implication of Gorbachev's name. Because in Revelation 13:18, and this is from the Living Bible, it tells us exactly what to look for. It says, let those who are able interpret this code. The numerical values of the letters in his name add to 666.
Now you're in numerology.
No,
not
numerology. That is Bible numerics. We're not projecting
Bible
anything.
Bible numerics.
Yes, indeed.
Are you aware that you are using, are you using the lunar calendar?
I'm using no calendar.
Oh,
I'm
but
saying
what about
that the
years?
Letters
what
in
about
his...
the fact that there is a month of August, which wasn't there centuries ago?
What has this to do with the
because
number of his name?
Because you are coming up with these ridiculous kinds of things and trying to make them right because they're written down in a book.
You haven't even heard it yet. How can you call it ridiculous?
What do you mean I haven't heard it? I've heard it for years.
You haven't heard what I have to say about it.
You're going to say the same thing that 100 guys before you have said.
No, I
what makes
not.
You think you've got anything new to talk about?
When Kissinger was proposed at the Antichrist, somebody
came
around.
Wait a minute, hold it. I want you to get in a deep breath because I know you're going to be hard to stop once you get ruined.
Right.
We have to take some time off the news with Geisha Sclero.
Thank you, Alan. Here are the stories we're following at this hour. Eastern Airlines has filed for protection from its creditors in U.S. bankruptcy court in New York. Local SEPTA rail workers have once again been banned from staging sympathy strikes with Eastern workers. SEPTA may face its own labor problems. Union head Roger Tao says optimism is waning in talks aimed at averting a March 15th walkout. A tractor-trailer accident in Burlington Township on Route 130. The truck is filled with fuel but doesn't seem to be leaking. A water main break that closed City Avenue southbound during the height of the morning rush is still gushing and causing major problems for motorists. Phillies preseason baseball here on WCAU beginning at 12:30. Expect a warming trend for the weekend. And that's the latest from the newsroom. I'm Gaza Sklarov, 1210 WCAU News.
Miller High Life Concerts at the Music Fair brings you the luck of the Irish as some of Ireland's best entertainers celebrate the St. Patrick's Day holiday. The music and celebration kick off with the fabulous Chieftains, who bring their unique sound center stage Thursday, March 16th. And the fun continues on Saturday, March 18th, when Ireland's funniest comic, Hal Roach, returns with his special brand of humor. This St. Patrick's Day show is always a favorite. And at the end of this Irish rainbow are the legendary Clancy Brothers with their special guests, Northeast Twins, bringing their pot of gold music to the Music Fair on Sunday, March 19th. Make it a special St. Patrick's Day and see all three shows. Tickets are on sale at the Music Fair box office, Ticket Run, or for charges, call 644-5000. That's 644-5000. All these great St. Patrick's Day shows are brought to you by Miller High Life. Stop and taste the highlight.
Listen to this, not just with your ears, but with all your senses. Mussels, shrimp, and clams in marinara sauce over linguine. That's one of the specialties of the house at Mara's Restaurant. Mara's Restaurant, 1734 East Passyunk Avenue in South Philadelphia, would like to invite you to enjoy a great Italian meal tonight. From veal to seafood to pizza that's made in an original brick oven. It's a sure bet you'll love Mara's Restaurant. Mara's is open 11:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, 11:30 to midnight Friday and Saturday, and they're open Sunday too, 2:30 to 11. So make a reservation now and enjoy Mara's Restaurant. The number to call for reservations and directions is 463-9249. 463-9249. Mara's Restaurant, 1734 East Passyunk Avenue, just a mile from the vet in South Philadelphia. Mara's Restaurant, a Philadelphia landmark serving customers from the same location for over 60 years. Call now, 463-9249.
Hello, this is WCAU's Frank Rizzo, and I'll be here this afternoon right after the Phillies game, talking about our latest issues or whatever is on your mind. So if you're finding...
And poor Oral, he's out there having... Oral is out there having all kinds of...
Look, some of that stuff's legitimate, so don't pan at all.
Listen, I'm a healer. You interested in that fact?
Sure.
I am a healer that has been called in by hospitals, doctors. So the healing, believe me, I understand. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand charging people for it.
No, I don't either.
All right, let's get to the telephones on WCAU News Talk Radio. My guests are Vern Poitras, who... Try and keep it down over there. You're just so noisy, Vern. He is professor of New Testament interpretation at Westminster Seminary and the author of a book called Gorbachev, Has the Real Antichrist Come? A nuclear engineer turned preacher.
Writer, teacher.
You don't preach?
No, I don't.
What are you doing here? You're preaching, aren't you?
No, I'm educating.
You've got a terrific sense of humor. I like you, Bob. Bob Fried is his name.
Faith.
God, I almost gave you a German name there.
Well, I've been called Faid, too, and I was taken off an LL flight and strip search because they thought I was an Arab.
No good. Well, you don't look like an Arab.
No, I don't.
You definitely don't look like an Arab. Let's get to the phones and talk to Mitch. Sorry to have kept you waiting, Mitch.
No problem. I'm enjoying your show.
Thank you.
I just have a couple comments that I haven't heard too much about. Number one would be that you're discounting entirely the Jewish people throughout the Bible. Also, in Ezekiel 27, we know that Nebuchadnezzar was, the icon of false religion, the king of the time, and I kind of feel you're going in the wrong direction looking at...
Who are you speaking to?
Either guest.
Oh, I see.
The person, I can't remember his name, the guy that wrote
the book was written by Robert Fade.
Right, and something that he mentioned was about the Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is, alive right now. The sons of disobedience throughout our culture and, the world in general, and there's going to be a rise of, some kind of false counterfeit religion. I don't see Gorbachev icon of religion. He's more just a, unless you want to say the communist.
Well, what about Khomeini? Wouldn't he qualify more than Gorbachev?
Absolutely. I think he would be in that vein of, the spirit of, what they call Antichrist.
Yeah, sure.
Mitch, you're quite correct in what you say, but I think you've forgotten something, and I'd like to remind you that the Antichrist will not be the leader of this worldwide religion. The false prophet will, and I don't have the slightest idea who the false prophet will be. I have no clues. Now, you're right also that Daniel was given, and Nebuchadnezzar was the head of this statue, and that was the first kingdom, and after that the Babylonian and the Median kingdom, then the Greek, then the Roman, and the last kingdom were the toes of that statue, iron mixed with clay, which represents strength and weakness, not the revised Roman Empire. The Soviet Union meets the qualifications for a revised Roman Empire, but if you look at the Soviet Union, the iron in the toes symbolizes great military strength. The clay in the toes, economic weakness. So it really follows into that too.
That could be their economies. But I would say that possibly the Holy Roman Empire, with the unification of Europe, and the economic picture there, I would say that would qualify as the Holy Roman Empire all over again.
Yeah, but did you hear yesterday's program?
Unfortunately, I didn't know.
Well, if you had heard yesterday's program, you would say to yourself at this point, it really doesn't matter, because we had a professor from Temple University talking about conversations with abductees, people who have been taken aboard UFOs, and what has been done to them, and the common thread of the removal of the egg and the sperm from the abductees is the one common thread.